I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Scott Smith. Scott is the host of the podcast Daily Boost, which is top-rated in iTunes for self-help. Without further ado, Scott, welcome to the show. It's great to have
you
on.
Nice to be here, and thank you for just getting to the point, jumping right in, my man. That's cool.
Yeah, we'll fill in the blanks as we go along.
Boom. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I know you have a great show that's listened to by tons of people. I wondered if you could tell us first a little bit about your journey, what led you to start the podcast.
We started the podcast in 2006, so very much at the beginning of the podcast adventure. I think podcasting started in about it was officially discovered in November of 2004, and I found it just shortly after that in 2005 in January, and kind of started playing around with it. Did a few other things before that, and was doing some fitness work, and very early on helping people lose weight and everything. And one day I said, you know what, I kind of like personal development, because every part of life I've ever been in really told me that you know, it was, if you didn't have the head screwed on straight, whether it be business or losing weight or whatever, that it wasn't going to work for you. You would always kind of self-destruct and run back into your safety corner.
Right.
And so I decided to launch the Daily Boost, but honestly, I launched it as well. Not only did I understand that, because working in the kind of fitness world, I knew that the biggest reason people didn't lose weight was because they just didn't have their head on right. And I said, well, okay, fine. But when I launched it, it was because I wanted to start a business. I wanted to make money, because at that point, I was actually doing a free podcast like a lot of people were. And so I said, well, why not start a daily podcast? Why not call it the Daily Boost? And I will give one away on a Monday. And then if they like it, I'll sell them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So it was really kind of answering a call after doing it for about 18 months for free. I said, I want to make some money out of this. And I came up with that. It's been a hit ever since. We have I think at this point, probably somewhere around 2,600-2,700 Daily Boost episodes that we produced overall, because at one point I was doing 16 programs a week with a membership site, overall over 8,000 individual podcast episodes since then. So there have been a few challenges along the way getting there, but that's how I kind of got into that, and that's why the Daily Boost arrived and has stuck there ever since. We have in excess now, I think, 14 million downloads total, and on a big month in January, we'll do about 1.1 million. On a slow month this month, I think we capped 700,000 this month. So there have been many challenges along the way to getting to this, but that's how it all started.
So early on, when you were coming up with this model of pricing and selling the podcast episodes, what went through your mind and gave you the sense that there would be a business out of this?
I think there's a business out of motivating and inspiring and helping and solving problems anytime you look at it. What gave me the sense of it was I'd had this message I wanted to get out, and I had a way of communicating the message, and people were responding to it. And as soon as people respond to your message, the very first thing a lot of those people want to do is connect with you more and hire you and bring you in for consulting and speaking and things like that. They want more of you, and that's pretty natural.
Right.
And I saw that. And I said, well, okay, they're connecting with me, and I've got a message. And by the way, I had a kind of an inkling of a message very early on. I was a former fat guy, you know, and I'd lost a bunch of weight, and I had a message. Podcasting was the vehicle that allowed me to communicate my message, because I have a history of broadcast in my life. So I just kind of used that. But right. Very, very quickly, I realized that because I was able to take my message, that my market was resonating with my message, and they wanted more. And then it was a matter of putting on kind of the marketing and the business hat and deciding how I could turn it into a business. And I just, on a fluke, membership sites were popular at the time. Advertising on a podcast at the time was blasphemy. You could not get away with it. And even a membership site was kind of difficult to do. How dare you charge for a podcast? That's really what the attitude was. But they were very popular. And David, if I just admit something, that, you know, I kind of stumbled into it. I didn't stumble into wanting to do what I do these days. I just wanted to do my podcast. I just wanted to help some people, and membership sites were fashionable. I said, I can do that. And I went and did it.
So the first thing is knowing what your message is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Always. Yeah. I talk about this all the time, because it's really popular these days for people that get into business to to want to go find their ideal client. I think you've probably heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Ideal avatar, that perfect customer, all that stuff. And I think it's great because we certainly want to work with people we like. We want to choose people who have the income structure and the disposable income, or have the need and the money is really always a good thing. We want that. But if you're just out there fishing for people, well, that's probably not going to do the job. So this is an old, if we go back probably way before Dan Kennedy and magnetic marketing, I mean, the model is very simple. Message, market, and media. And so I had my message. It was life begins when you move. Start moving, stay moving. You know, stand up, take a step, repeat. You know, do some now so you can do more later. I had my message. If you move your butt, you can be successful. And my market was naturally resonating with me. It was pretty much probably a 35 to 45 year old marketplace. They were already resonating, about 72% female. So I knew they were there, and I had the medium called a podcast. All I had to do was stay on message, keep my market happy, and keep cranking out the podcast.
Now, you mentioned earlier that mindset is a big issue for people in life and in business. Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, if your head's not clear, if you're distracted in any way, it's going to hinder you. And here's the thing. None of us have a clear head all the time. I mean, life is way too busy. It's a moving target. There's stuff happening nonstop. I call it rising above the interference. And all that means is that, you know, there is so much interference in our day, whether it's social media or a phone call or the fact that we forgot to get our wife flowers for her birthday or something, you know. There's interference everywhere. And that interference will mess up with what you need to do with your job. And then the other part of this is that people are out there trying to be success, whatever they define as success. And we all have our own definition, but they're trying to do this, and all that noise still exists. You know, if you go on Facebook and you spend any time there at all, we all have to be on Facebook these days to run our business. You know, there's a lot of noise there, and a lot of it is just there because of noise. And that permeates our head and shifts us off in a different direction. So if we don't have a way to focus that mindset, to clear that mindset, to ground ourselves and put us in a place where we know why we're doing what we're doing and allow us to stay on track with that, it only leads to more frustration. And a lot of my work as a coach and a consultant, I start by clearing that clutter out of people's lives because we can't do anything until we have some white space to work with. So, yeah, I think mindset is everything. You got to have your head screwed on straight, including me.
Right. And as Simon Sinek says, start with start with why.
Start with why. Yeah. You know, and you know why the why? It's real simple, because in everything in life, if you want something, you can have anything you want. You can't have it all at the same time. There's no doubt about that. But almost everything is possible. Some things are not possible. I am not tall enough and I'm too old to ever play in the NBA. It's just not possible. Although there are some people that would chase that dream. I'm like, dude, you can't do it, man. You're 5'4 and 55-year-old white guy. Hang on, I'm not 5'4, I'm 5'9. The reality, did that come out right? maybe not. But this is the truth of how it is. Sometimes you can't go after things, you know? And so you've got to ground yourself in that. But when you do figure out what you want, as soon as you figure out what you want to do, as soon as you set your course, that's when the opposition is going to arrive. If only because you made somebody uncomfortable. Wait a second, you didn't say you want to do that yesterday. Now you changed your mind. What are we going to do together? We've been doing this forever. So the opposition, the obstacles, the constraints you can't even see come out of nowhere. If you don't know why you want it and how bad you want it, you're never going to get there. You'll never go through what you have to go through to succeed. You just won't do it.
Talk to me a little bit more about the opposition, because this is something I hear regularly from my podcast guests.
Opposition. I mean, I think there's two kinds of opposition. Obstacles are there. There are obstacles to everything you want to do. It doesn't make any difference. And sometimes you didn't do a thing and there's an obstacle. Usually when we set a goal, we immediately go, okay, what do we have to do? And the obstacles are the little jumps, the little hurdles on the track you have to go over to get what you want. If you don't go up around through those obstacles, you're not going to get there. The problem is you also have something else, and this is one I work with my clients a lot, and I always include this in the list. I always include not only an obstacle, because many times we can see them, we can put it on our list, we can say, great, here I go. Hey, wait a second, Scott, I checked off all my obstacles. I slayed them. Why am I not ultimately successful? Well, because we got a few constraints going on. We have unseen constraints, things that are hanging on to us. For instance, maybe you've taken care of every single obstacle, yet you have some beliefs in the background. All your life, people have told you you can't be successful, and every time you call your mom on a Sunday evening, she's saying, well, why don't you get a real job? And that's a constraint. It's not an obstacle. There's nothing you can do to get over it or around it. but it is holding you down, holding you back, and hanging on to you. And that's a bit of its mindset. You've got to recognize that's there. But the truth is, if you're going to succeed in anything in life, if you want more than what you currently have now, and let me even correct that, if you want to keep what you have right now, you're still going to get obstacles. My wife came in today and she said, you know, the plumber's going to charge $225 to fix the faucet on the outside of the house. I didn't do anything. I was just sitting here. Right? I was just sitting here. What? Wait a second. And that was right after the air conditioning. I didn't do anything. I just went on vacation, came back. My air conditioning was out. My freezer broke. We just bought a half a beef, cow of beef, or, you know, meat in the freezer, and it was dead. Well, the cow was dead, but the meat was now rotten after 5 days with no electricity. I didn't do anything. That's an obstacle. I couldn't get anything done until I got that stink out of the house. Life is going to happen. Obstacles must be jumped over to get where you want to go. If you don't want to jump over the obstacles, you might as well get used to it, because staying right where you are, they'll come to you. You'll jump or they'll jump over you. Doesn't matter.
So what are some tips that you might suggest to be able to deal with these obstacles as they crop up, knowing that they're going to come?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, knowing they're going to come. Nothing is insurmountable. If you know your why, you will go through those obstacles. But I also think many times it's like worrying. There are real obstacles that we have to deal with. And there are many of them. For most people, I think, probably the vast majority, like worries, 90% plus, aren't really an obstacle. That's just in your brain. For instance, other people that maybe say something, people that have the vast majority of people between you and where you want to go are just kind of vehicles to get you there. They're kind of entertainment along the way. Most of them can't really help you get what you want. You just got to kind of go through those people, not go through them in a bad way. But, you know, you just got to keep going until you meet the people that can help you. If you get caught up in the drama along the way, you need to lose the drama. Because an obstacle could be just that. As you're going through this process, you're going to run into people who are going to slow you down and keep you back a little bit. And you just have to recognize it and go. Most of them will disappear, the people and the problem, and that will leave you with what you actually have to deal with. But like almost every other obstacle, it's like having to do your taxes. It's huge, insurmountable, until about 11:50 on April 14th. And then you get it done. Right? It's done. It wasn't that bad.
Scott, what have been some of your biggest challenges?
I am a walking, talking challenge, man. I really am. Because if I'm not growing, I don't feel like I'm happy. But my biggest challenge comes into my business, and it really kind of redefined me in a time when I didn't know it was going to redefine me. I had come up being a bit entrepreneurial, basically psychologically unemployable. I'm happy to work for anybody else, by the way, and I will, in fact, be an employee. It's going to cost you a lot of money. You will never be able to call me or ask me how things are going. Just check your bank account. You'll be good. But leave me alone. That's just kind of who I am these days. But, you know, throughout my life, I was doing that. But I started as a shock jock in the radio and was out there kind of messing with great people on the radio for years, and it really didn't serve me well. I wasn't happy with that. And so I moved into production work. I moved into voiceover work. I moved into television and radio and film production, and just kind of gravitated through all that and all the advertising work and the advertising agency work. And I took on this love of personal development and entrepreneurial development because I just realized it wasn't working for me. If I was going to make money, I needed to learn how to do this stuff. And so I continued. I got fired from radio more than a dozen times, by the way, more than a dozen times. But I learned a lesson from being fired. It used to hurt me a lot. But then I realized, wait a second, if they fire me, they gave me severance pay. Usually that gave me a couple of weeks off, and somebody would usually hire me because I got fired for being creative. It became a really strange reward for me. So I learned to take that and just bound right through it. But when I got to this point, when I decided to go down the personal development road, this business that I run today that started, it started on a napkin. It actually officially started on a napkin at Applebee's restaurant. And the napkin had chicken wing sauce on it, which is kind of funny. Probably had some beer on it, too. And it makes it funny because we were starting a motivational and a fitness company, a company dedicated to helping people lose weight. But being a former fat guy, having weighed 248 pounds, it was just funny to me. It had chicken wing sauce on it. And the very first purchase I made on my corporate debit card was at a taco restaurant. I thought, okay, that's me. That's Scott. We got this thing going, and we designed to do it, and here I was building this, all these podcasts, and I had this all this audience, and I had decided to go live, and it was going to be Labor Day of 2006 when I was going to go live, and I was going to open my membership site, and I did, and it happened to coincide with the weekend that I was selling my house because my wife and I had decided we were going to move to Colorado. And the dream was there. I was going to Colorado and live in the mountains and write my book and do that. I'm certainly glad I didn't write my book back then. I have no idea what it would have been like. But that was a dream. Well, just shortly before before we were going to launch our business, we got a contract on the house. And ultimately, we ended up selling the house and having to move out within 8 days. And that move-out day was the very same day I was opening my membership site. And I rolled in there at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I opened the site because that's what we did back then. And I was open for about an hour, and 30 people signed up and gave me $19.95. So I made almost $600 in about an hour. I then unplugged the computers and went away. But the problem that happened was now we had launched our business and we were in business, but my wife hadn't been feeling good, and she had had cancer about 6 years before. And in the subsequent month, the previous month before this, she had been feeling bad. And we had made appointments. We had appointments the next week to go to the doctor and see what the heck was going on. Well, that day, just after I unplugged the computers, she got dehydrated. Later on that evening, as she called me, she was staying at a friend's house, and she said, "I don't feel good." I said, "Call the paramedics." She did. I was 100 miles away delivering some furniture. I raced back down to find her, and I found her in the emergency room with an ER doc in there giving me the terminal diagnosis. My wife had cancer and was not going to live on that day. So technically, I was homeless. We had moved out. I had started my business, and my wife was dying all in one day. So that kind of changed the plan for me a little bit, and I had to figure out what to do. And we went over to the beach and rented a house and tried to get our ducks in a row. Went off to Costa Rica for a couple of weeks to do some alternative treatment. And I took on the challenge, and I really didn't want to. Who wants to take on the challenge of helping your wife die? But I made a decision. And the decision during that time was I would share my story. That I didn't know how I was going to deal with this, but I was simply going to find a way to deal with it. On Saturdays, I would do a podcast if I could, and I would share my story about what I learned that week, and I would just share what happened. Well, I did that, and didn't make any money, just kept doing it, and we recorded in Costa Rica, and I recorded in the back of taxi cabs, and I just kept talking about what was going on. And 100 days later, from diagnosis, she passed away, 100 days to the day. And my audience was there the whole time. Well, my wife and I had a conversation. I used to call it the wisdom of the wife. And she sat me down. She said, "What are you going to do when I die?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to do what we planned," because she helped me plan this. And so I kind of made a promise I would. Well, she died on December 6th. I took a couple of weeks off. And on January 1st, I got back to doing the Daily Boost. And about the 20th of the month, I opened my membership site again. I got 150 new people that came in, so paying me, $19.95 a month. So now at least I had some money to live on, and I just kept on going from there. And that was the single biggest challenge I've ever had in my life, and it's the one that still affects me to this day. And it's affected a lot of other people as well.
Talk to me a little bit about how that challenge resonates with you today and what you do as a result.
I have a spiritual advisor. His name is Lewis Gates. And I talked to Lewis quite a bit. I just talked to him recently after, actually. And Lewis told me way back then, he said, "You know, Scott, we never get used to it. We just deal with it. We just put it in its place. And if you ask how it affects me today, it's still is there in living color, as they used to say. You just put it in its place. You just deal with it." But I've realized now that everything in life is that. You put it in its place and you deal with it. There are certain things that happen to all of us. There are many, many things that happen throughout the day that maybe are fair or maybe not fair. The world is not an easy place to be. It never has been. It's never going to be. There's a lot of moving parts in this world. And so I think from what I've come, I have this very very different attitude about life these days. And that is that I just understand how it works, and I understand there's always a little bit of pain, and I always understand you got to put it in the right place. And then you have to turn around and go, okay, how can I take that and energize it? And so you'll find me doing that all the time. You'll find me in everything that I do that I'm very, 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 usually pretty easy to get along with. I'm pretty easy to move forward on things that I think are good for me and benefit people around me. And you'll also find me a person who very quickly will say, "Nope, that's not my thing," if it's not my thing. You'll find me with not a short fuse, but very, very clear on what I won't do and what I will do. I will play a game or not play a game based on my point of view. and that's all that really matters. And so that has been a huge impact with me. Now, what's interesting, it took me a long time to kind of find a place to put that. Now what I realize is that's just focus. It's just focus. And it allows me to make time in my day to understand that, no, I am focusing on what makes me move, what makes me not necessarily happy, but like I say, what do you do when you're doing you? Now, because of that, because of what I went through, I tend to look at me and I say, okay, Scott, when you're hanging out, what do you do? And honestly, what I do is what I'm doing right now. I talk, I inspire, I coach, I help, and I'm a pretty straight shooter. So to this day, if you get nothing else out of me, man, you're gonna get at least the truth. According to me, it may not be right, but I'm gonna try.
Scott, do you think that your perspective on how to react to challenges changes with age because of the accumulation of experiences that have taken place?
Oh God, yes. Oh God, yes. That's the beauty of getting old, isn't it? That's how it works. Yeah, it certainly changes. I mean, it's from a perspective, a worldview perspective. If you grow, if you open up, there's no way you can't look at challenges with a little less weight as you get older, because you just kind of see it. If you've ever talked to somebody who's in their 80s or 90s, they're kind of chill, you know? Why? Because they've kind of seen it all before. So yeah, there's no doubt about that. And that's also, I think, what when I coach a lot of people. I was just getting off the phone a little bit ago with a 34-year-old, one of my millennial kids. I have a lot of millennials who listen to me. They say I'm like their dad, except I don't bug them. I teach them for some reason. But I find that when I listen to these guys that I'm working with, it's so cool now because I have such perspective and they just don't even see it. So it's very neat to be able to kind of guide them in that way. And this, I look forward to getting older, actually. I only think I'm going to get maybe a little bit more relaxed as I get older, I think.
Cool. Scott, what kinds of roadblocks do you see people hitting in business repeatedly?
I see folks who sometimes, let me think about this. You know what's coming to mind is because I work in the personal development / business world of consulting. If you ask me what I do in terms of my consulting, it's kind of a combination of coaching and consulting. I call it entrepreneurial, strategic, and emotional support. That's the word that I use. And that puts me in this place where, again, working on mindset, because if I can use some of the techniques that I know, some of the neuro-linguistic programming, the hypnotic stuff I know how to do, I can move people through. And I tell you, the number one thing that I see is people get caught up in the buzz. They don't get clear on what they want. They're not able to nail it down to just what they really, really, you know, what the essence is of who they are and what their business is. And then, because they can't do that, they overcomplicate it. And as they overcomplicate it, all these obstacles fly up, real or otherwise, in their way, and it brings them to a point of not knowing what to do. They just get stuck. They get caught up in the mess, and they get stuck. And so the commonality that I see is lack of a very clearly defined focus, and then getting down and just simplifying to the point that they're doing one thing. A lot of times, by the way, because I'm in the personal development world, sometimes you'll get a lot of people out there that come to you and they talk about, you know, how they should live with passion and go after their purpose and do what you love and you'll never have to work another day in your life. And study after study has shown that not to be true. Study after study has simply shown that when you are busy doing something that you enjoy doing or you're caught up in the moment of doing it, even if you don't enjoy it, it could be hard for you. You're satisfied. You get your passion. You achieve your purpose by your actions throughout the course of the day. And so the biggest thing that I come up with is people who literally are trying to pluck out of the sky some magical passion or purpose. It's kind of a soft side of what we're doing, forgetting the fact that business is the hard edge side. And so I spend a lot of time what I'm doing and say, great, I love your passion. I love what you're doing. But the reality is the reason we're in business is to make money, period. There is no other reason. The very first thing that we do when we're in business is to put money in the pocket. That's why we do it. Now, after that, we can do a lot of good. We can help a lot of people, but we make money first. So to square this question down, I get stuck in people who are living a little bit in foo-foo land and not necessarily coming around to why they're running their business. And what's happened is that causes mass confusion, and mass confusion can only cause inaction. That's what I see on a daily basis.
On the flip side, are there things that you see that really catapult a business to a new level?
Focus. When you are down to one thing, first off, if you can get down to one thing, And one thing is, you know, it's 100 things really, but it's kind of one big thing. When you can focus on what you do, when you know why you're doing it, what it is, life gets easy for you. It gets easy for you because you are just like on a greased roller coaster now. Because you think about it, it's like project management. I'm not a believer in multitasking at all. Simple multitasking, yeah. I mean, I'll talk on the phone and watch some TV and maybe pet the cat at the same time. That's fine with me. But multitasking is switching focus. That's all multitasking is. And it's great for computers because they're faster than we are and they have multiple processors. We only have one brain and we're slow. So when you're multitasking, things slow down quite a bit and it's hard. So when I can get people focused on one thing, what ends up happening is all that energy goes into it. And before you know it, they're wondering, you know, wow, I got so much time in the day. I'm making such focus here or such progress here. But I got to tell you, if I can get people focused on what they want to do, on one thing that just makes them happy and just drives them forward, and I do that all the time, if I get them focused, then they get bored. It's amazing. They get bored because now you got some time in your life. Now you're kind of repeatedly doing something every single day. But guess what? That's when you get good at what you do. That's when you surpass that 10,000 hour rule. You get so good at what you do, then you just focus on what you do. It becomes effortless and boring almost, and that's when you succeed. That's the flip side. So focus, practice, 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 stay in the game, and just stay in it until it works for you. 8,000 podcasts later, I still get people that call me, and they've done four or none. Hey, Scott, I've been listening to your podcast. I'd like to know, well, how do you get it to sound that way? And how do you manage to stay in the top five of self-help nonstop? I mean, is there some trick? As if I would tell them the trick. I'll tell them everything I know. There's no trick. Stay in the game long enough, hang around long enough, stay focused on what you do, and people will begin to notice. It works.
That's great. Scott, what are you working on now?
Speaking of focus, we're defining it. You know, we started out, what happened was, and this happens a lot, motivation to move started as one thing, grew into lots of different things. And before you know it, I was swatting projects all over the place. And what happened was, if you have 10 projects going on, working them all at the same time, none of them ever get done. So I began to pull that down and began to really, really tighten it up. You know, what I do for a living is I help people kind of, they get out of bed in the morning and they go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. You know, the air conditioner went out. The guy across the street said something he shouldn't have said. And it throws you off track for the day. I help people with that on the Daily Boost every single day. So it's all about pretty much how do you keep moving in periods of excitement or sadness or anxiety or happiness even. Sometimes happiness makes you lazy. How do you do that? So what I'm doing these days is we're actually kind of accelerating and moving things up a notch. The Daily Boost is growing. Now, I talked about the one thing. So I'll explain what I'm doing with that. With the Daily Boost, that is my one thing. Everything runs off that podcast because we have 1 million downloads a month. So I always focus on that. From that, it peels off down to a lot of coaching and consulting, building that side of my business. And also, we're opening up the keynote speaking part of what I do. I've done years and years of platform speaking, meaning getting on a stage and selling a product. And I've just decided that I like to do the keynote speaking more, so I'm going to begin to go that way. And the major project, which will be done by the end of the year, finally, is after 8,000 podcasts, it finally dawned on me I should write a book. Figure I got enough content. And so I am buckling down to do that. So that's my major focus here for the next 6 months or so.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, I think so.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
So, Scott, I wondered if you could mention someone you know personally who's doing really remarkable work.
You know, when I saw that, you mentioned that to me. For everybody, we would have that question. And in fairness, you were giving me a chance to think about it a little bit. There's an interesting way that I think. And the way that is that I'm not outside myself listening to what other people are doing. I'm not paying attention to that. And the first thing that came to my mind was the clients I'm working with every single day. That was the first thing. It just came to my mind. I thought, you know, how cool is that? That I am looking at that and them succeeding, because I'm seeing people, regular people doing that are getting people excited by what they're doing, and they're following their dreams and their purpose and really putting their business in front of them and going after it. So that was the first thing that excited me. So honestly, I just have to tell you, I know it's the most boring answer on the planet, man. I don't even know what to do with it right now. If I were to try to look outside of me and say, what am I excited about? I am so excited about everything I see out there. And yet what really where my focus is on these people that I have right in my little lunar, well, not my tight orbit that I've got here. It's not the answer I'm sure you hear every single day, but it's the one that's resonated with me now.
Actually, I've heard this answer from a number of guests.
Oh, good. Thank God. I'm not alone. Okay.
Yeah, because if we don't love what we're doing with our clients and respect them, then why are we doing it?
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say, I do the same thing with my family. I am focused around my family. I mean, I don't look outside of that. I mean, it's just there, and I used to be there. I used to go out further, and you know, I find that it's interference, that I'm in somebody else's business, that I'm up inside their head instead of my head. And so it's not that I can't get excited about somebody who's written a great book, and I read great books all the time. I read two or three a week. I'm always reading. And so I get excited about it. But if you turn around a day later and you say, Scott, who wrote that book? I will not likely know who wrote it. And that's just me. And I don't mean to be disrespectful for anybody, but I take that information, I turn it into my life, and I turn it into helping somebody else right away. And that's what gets me juiced, man. That's what gets me going.
That's great. That's great. Scott, how can listeners learn more about you?
Well, easiest way is always to go to the Daily Boost, and that's on iTunes. If you search Daily Boost Podcast, Daily Boost Scott, Daily Boost Motivation, any of those things, it's going to pop up. Or you can go to the self-help category of iTunes, and you'll find it right there at the top. We're there 5 days a week, and we also have the website, motivationtomove.com, where you'll find more information. And you know what? Something that's interesting, and this has been fun, I'll share this with you. We actually launched another podcast, and we launched it on the Daily Boost feed, and we did this on a Saturday. We do a 9-minute daily show Monday through Friday, and it's kind of me. It's a solo show. It's me and my monologue and me and my mouth do my thing, and people like that. But I wanted to do something that was a little bit different and have a little more fun. So I brought my wife in, Joy, and she's done, we've been married, by the way. My late wife has been gone 8.5 years. Joy and I have been married, 7.5 years. So I jump right into this game. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. I've lived in my house almost as long as my wife has been dead, which is kind of odd. So I just picked up and went. But we started a new show called Husband Wife Talking Life. And the concept is really interesting. It's basically just Joy and I taking on the world's problems, whatever's going on, and putting a personal development spin on it, and then coming at it from a husband and wife angle. And we deliver this on a Saturday. It's a 30-minute show, no more, no less. It's right there. And it's decidedly just for you to enjoy yourself and learn a little bit along the way. So if you are into that kind of thing and you would like to let your hair down and still learn, that's a good show as well. So a couple of places to find me.
Great, great. And the new show is a great show and a nice addition to the same feed.
Oh, have you listened to it?
I did, yes.
Isn't it fun?
A lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I'm sure it's a lot of fun doing it.
We're only in our seventh show. People are starting to react to it, so I think we're going to have a good time with it. It's going to be a good time.
Sounds good. Well, Scott, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been great having you on as a guest and chatting about personal development and mindset and how to move forward in life with all the issues and the obstacles we face. You've done a great job, and you inspire a lot of people. So I'm really pleased to have you on my show to be able to share your wisdom with our audience. My guest today has been Scott Smith, host of the podcast Daily Boost. Thank you again, Scott, for joining us.
Thanks for having me, David. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.